Welcome to K-Drama Musings, where you'll find reactions, reviews, and recommendations of K-dramas and more. I am your host, Carol, and I'm delighted to have you with me today. If you like what you hear, I invite you to join me on Instagram at K-Dramas Musings for more fun content. If this is your first time listening, go ahead and subscribe. K-Drama Musings is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you like the show, please give me a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Your support is deeply appreciated. Let's get to today's show. Today we're going to talk about everything. A recap of 2023 in K-dramas, what we loved, what we dropped, what we hate watched. We will be covering it all. And alongside me today, I have two amazing creators I admire. Listeners, join me in welcoming Jess from Payback Podcast and Frankie from Frankie's Universe.
Hi.
Hello. Hello again. It's so good to be back, Carol. I am so excited to record with Frankie because I feel like I've known Frankie for a while and we're all over TikTok together. And I'm so excited to talk about the year with you two, who have definitely watched more dramas than I have, like, guaranteed. So
no, I'm so excited to be here for real. I feel like I've always wanted to be a guest on a K-drama podcast, and I feel like it's very fitting that it's with Carol because Carol and I have such similar humor. But yeah, but also Jess, no, like, you watched, I get what you mean about the dramas, but I feel like I dropped a lot. So when we discuss, I just, oh, let's keep the expectations very low.
Got it.
How are you ladies doing? How's your year been?
I mean, good. I feel like I've never really been that person that's really excited for the new year. I think it's another day, another month, do you know what I mean? But I do like the idea of, I feel like I've grown a lot this year. I've done a lot of new things this year. So I'm definitely excited for 2024 and what that brings.
Yay. What about you, Jess?
Well, so same thing as Frankie. I am not one to go out on New Year's or do things on New Year's. I always like to spend it inside. And I was joking with some friends of mine that because we never do anything, we just stay home. So I was like, why don't, like, as a family, we go somewhere? And then I was like, what if they don't have 12 grapes? Do you guys know about the 12 grapes thing?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay. I'm so happy you guys know about the 12 grapes.
I thought that was a UK thing. Oh my God.
No, it's very Hispanic as well.
Okay.
You ended up growing up in Spanish church like I did. You would be in church on New Year's Eve and they would hand out 12 grapes for each person. And then each grape would be like, you'd pray a blessing over each month of the next year and you'd eat 12 grapes. And it sounds a little ridiculous, but now that we don't really care about the 12 grapes, of course, like, say a prayer and a blessing and come into the new year with excitement. But like, the 12 grapes is the biggest joke now in our lives.
I know. Last year, I think I saw TikToks of people saying, okay, people, it's the end of the year. Those who had their grapes under the table. And
that's what I thought Jess was talking about. I thought you were talking about the dating thing. Like, you eat grapes under the table and then next year you get a partner. That's what I thought you were talking
about. Oh, no. That is totally different.
Yours is so much more wholesome.
That's totally different.
I'm so sorry.
It's 12 grapes basically for each month of the year.
That's
and
beautiful.
Just because it's a Hispanic thing, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to pray a prayer over each month. But yeah, so everyone has their own experience with the 12 grapes. I'm so glad that you guys have a totally different experience than I do.
No, Carol and I are literally dealing. I was like, oh, that's so cute. Like, you're going to go to the club and go under the table. And just... I misread that. So sorry.
Well, now I'm glad I explained it because we all would have just started laughing and then we're all laughing at
different things. No, honestly.
Anyway. So, long story short, I'm happy that the year is coming into, like, for another year. Happy for another year. and excited for the Dramascape in 2024 and to kind of leave behind some of the stuff that was not so great about 2023. Yep. I think we might agree on some things about the Dramascape this year.
Yeah, for sure.
My year has been very interesting. I officially started doing this content creation for myself, not for others, for the first time. And it's been, one thing I'll say is, it's almost like, oh, let's just put it out there. Let's not tell anyone. You know, if I get 100, I'm fine. And then I started getting more. And then I'm like, oh, I can have more. And now I'm at a place where I want more versus, oh, whatever happens, happens. So
sure,
I'm very excited for 2024 and what I could do. And then personal life, the life rocked.
Oh, I feel that.
We're here now. And I'm right. I'm very grateful. I'm very happy to be doing this with you, but also to just be here and be talking about dramas. It's so surreal. I feel like I've been in this space for 28, 29 years, and it's nice to finally have it for myself and to talk.
Oh, yay. I love that. Oh, I really love that.
Thank you. Okay, Frankie, this is our first time talking with you.
Yes.
And because I'm so excited, I actually want to know more about you and what brought you to K-dramas.
I feel like everyone has like a similar story. So if you started watching K-dramas in 2020, I feel like everyone's gateway was crash landing on you. Like my friend knows that I'm a romance babe. So obviously it was like peak lockdown. She's like, Frankie, like, I think you'd really enjoy this. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to read subtitles. Like, this is above me. I was so thrown. I think prior to K-dramas, I wasn't very much a subtitle type of babe. But no, I watched Crash Landing on You. I was like, wait, no, this is a cinematic masterpiece. Ooh. I need more of this. This is a cinematic masterpiece. I absolutely need more. I love love. I always say that I love love. I love romance. And it was just peak love. So yeah, that was definitely my gateway. And then I kind of worked backwards, saw what, like, kind of just watching whatever was out there. I feel like I didn't really go beyond 2016. Like, 2016 was very much like the oldest I went, just because I was now used to a certain standard. Camera quality wise, cinematic wise. I was used to a certain standard and I just could not go back. I tried to watch The Heirs and stuff like that, and I just thought, guys, like, I've done better now. I can't go back. Like, why would I do that?
The Heirs is not okay. Like, The Heirs is 2013.
Yeah,
no. Might as well be 2005. Might as well be 2005, because it's bad.
It's bad. Even the poster tells me all I need to know. I'm so sorry. Like, I needed high quality HD. I needed all of it, and it just wasn't giving that. So yeah, so definitely Crash Landing was like my gateway, and I think for that reason, that's why it will always stay in my top 10. Like, it just always has a special place in my heart. So yeah, that's kind of what brought me into K-dramas. And then I guess like starting like the K-drama account was very much, I got COVID last year, so I was in isolation. I was like, oh, like, I want to see what's happening on K-drama TikTok. And then here we are. Like, I just love being able to have a community of people like you guys to talk about K-dramas with. So I'm really excited that I've gotten this far and met all of you, speaking to everyone. I'm having a ball. I'm having a great time.
I love that. So what are you currently watching? And this is for the both of you.
I'll go first. But Frankie, just so you know, I don't tend to watch a lot of dramas at the same time. Maybe fair. Two or three. But it wasn't until I started getting on the socials and interacting with people that people were like, I'm watching 15 dramas. I'm watching 20 dramas at a time. And I'm like, what time are you sleeping? Like, I was so confused. So this is the most that I've watched in a long time. I'm on episode 3 of Twinkling Watermelon. I have yet to continue because there's something about it that just isn't dragging me in right now, but I'm going to try and stick with it.
Please.
And then everyone's like, please keep watching. I'm please. Like, I get it. And then I'm watching Worst of Evil. I think I'm on like 4 or 5 of that show. Again, another 2023 drama. And then I'm trying to finish C-Drama's Romance on the Farm, which is like a light drama, not very high stakes. And then I have Back from the Brink, which is a xianxia. It's like a fantasy historical costume period piece in C-Drama land. And like, it's fine. I got to a point where I was like, I think I'm on episode 28 or something of 40. And I was like, you know what? This is okay. It's not my, I've seen like amazing mind altering xianxia. So if it's not that level, I'm almost like, why am I here? So that's how I feel about those four dramas. And then I think tonight I'm going to start A Journey to Love. Is that what it's called?
Oh, Carol's happy.
Carol.
She put her hand up. She said, yeah.
Because Carol, I am so upset with you. For posting, because you've been consistently posting about this show, and you messaged me, and we're like, "Are you watching the show?" And I'm like, "Girly, I'm trying to finish 2023 K drama so that I'm a loser on this show." And so, you were like, "You gotta watch. You got it's so amazing." And then Liliana from T and Soju was saying the same thing, and I'm like, "I trust you guys. I know that I will love it. I don't have the capacity right now. So as like basically tonight, I'm saying." It's on. Like we're
doing
like,
this.
We're doing it. Yeah.
Frankie, if you love love, right? If you love love, mm-hmm. if you haven't seen a C drama, let that be your first C drama. Frankie.
Bestie. Okay. I guess we're doing it. Guys, you know what it is? Because I think I do this thing out, like I watch a new movie every Friday. So I've watched a lot of C movies. Love a C movie. When it comes to romance, they've got that down. But I need you to understand something about my like my attention span. I cannot, and I'm saying this with so much love and light, I cannot do a 40-episode drama. Guys, nothing needs 40 episodes. And I want us to be so for real. I want us to be for real. This is a safe space. Let's be for real. 40 episodes for what?
Frankie, did you watch Scandal?
No, to be fair, I watched like first season of Scandal and I got tired of her just, oh, anyway, that's a whole other thing in itself.
Okay, did you watch How to Get Away with Murder?
I did. I was locked in.
Okay, that's 40 episodes right there.
Okay, but it's broken up in seasons. So you have
watch this in like chunks. Watch like 4 a month.
What? This is just a lot of work. I do get what you mean though, because if I'm breaking it up, but I think also we have to think about like the TikTok edits. I would love to avoid spoilers for dramas. I feel like once I see a spoiler for a drama that I really wanted to watch, I'm probably not going to watch it. And yeah, the C-drama girlies, like they love an edit. If I've seen the edit, they love an edit. They love an edit. So if I've seen the edit, I'm not watching the show because I've basically watched the show through TikTok. Like what's the point of doing the 40 hours? Like, come on now.
Okay. I think me and Carol are on the same page because I understand like that a lot of episodes is really daunting. But in the last couple of years, because of censorship in China and all that crap, they have capped the episodes at 40. So you're not looking at 50, 60, 70, 80 episodes anymore. And the episodes are so short. They're like 40 minutes. And I'm telling you, it'll be like something like, and then the next thing was, that's the end of the episode. Like they'll end like mid-sentence and you're like, well then so I have to keep that it's real easy to get through the episodes, way easier than K-dramas to me.
The PR for C-dramas is crazy. Like you guys really push the agenda. It's actually crazy. But I started Fireworks of My Heart. That was I really really enjoyed that. But
that's
then,
a Yang Yang drama, right?
Yeah,
there?
I love that man. Love that man.
Okay, he's
down.
Pretty. Yeah.
Love that man down. So I think I got like maybe episode 4 and I really did enjoy it. But then it just like they just kept adding episodes. And I was getting overwhelmed. I'm just a babe. I'm actually just a babe.
I feel you. I will just say that if you wanna give it a chance, let's say one day you have nothing to do. God forbid. Mm-hmm. Just like jump that way.
Okay, fine. Send me the little list of the ones that I need to watch, and I'll see. 2024, new leaf, new era. I'll try my best.
In terms of what I'm watching Man is Cupid, Tell Me You Love Me, which is a C drama. Welcome to Samdari, Perfect Marriage Revenge, Dropped, Castaway Diva.
Oh.
dropping my D-Len.
Oh!
I'm watching.
Sorry.
I'm not even watching these, but I'm like, oh, double homicide. No, like, oh.
Double homicide.
I'm watching A Story of Park's Marriage Contracts, which I'm really enjoying. A Journey to Love, which I've already spoken about. I'm watching I May Love You, The Last Immortal, Love Me, Love My Voice, finished wow. Vigilante this week.
This is a lot.
Yeah, I thought mine was
long. You're the Damn. Person that I'm talking about. That I'm like, I can't compete with this.
This is too much.
It's a lot.
I was like, just go first, but this is a lot.
I dropped Moon in the Day, I think, on the last two episodes.
Yep.
I'm just not going back.
Valid.
A Good Day to Be a Dog. I'm still watching.
Really? Anyway.
That's my hate watch. And The Matchmakers is also my hate watch. But
What did you say? You're hate watching The Matchmakers?
Yeah.
Well.
All right.
I love Roan, and I'm with yeah, him to support him.
Oh,
but,
he's so nice to look
but
at.
But I wish he is. But I wish Matchmakers had come out before
ages ago. That's so real. That's. I mean, I wouldn't have watched either. But like again, I do. But I do understand what you're saying.
Okay. And now I'm really enjoying Maestra. Strings, magical. Oh, it's fantastic. Yes. It's brilliant. Yes. And I feel like it's going to be good because it is a drama script that's already out there that was already amazing. I think it's a French or a Spanish show that is being
I think it was French when I looked it up.
Perfect. Awesome. So it was fantastic. So this is going to be fantastic. That's why I'm there.
Fair. I feel like we're watching a lot of the same things, and also I'm very validated in that yours is longer than mine, because I thought I was going to be the one saying like I'm doing this and doing that. But what am I doing? So I'm watching Death's Game, but I've only just watched part one. So part two okay. airs Jan 5th, and I enjoyed that. I really did enjoy that. Tell Me That You Love Me, enjoying that. Singles Inferno, because I love messy reality TV.
Yes,
love it. The budget is budgeting, baby. We will talk off air. I love yes. Singles Inferno. And then Park's Marriage Contract. I also really enjoy that. Maestra, My Demon, and then Welcome to Sundari is my current watch list. But am I dropping any of those? I don't think so. You know, I think I'm enjoying all of those, and I'm just gonna suck it up.
Ooh, okay. I love that. All right, so that's what we're watching, listeners. You know. Which ones we're enjoying, which ones we're not, and add it to your list for the year. My one thing is, okay, two things. Maestra and A Journey to Love. Those are the, like, ooh, A Story
of... I feel
of,
you.
Yeah. A Story of Parks.
I'm so surprised by how much I'm enjoying that.
Me too.
So surprised. But anyway.
Jess, you gotta get into it.
Jess is looking so blankly at us. She's like,
I don't mean to look blankly. I can't keep up at that pace.
No, I get that. I get that. That's fair. Yeah.
And right. I almost never watch currently airing dramas.
That's true.
So. That's a really good habit, though, because I think I've had a lot of disappointments that I could have avoided. I could have avoided if I didn't watch it like currently airing. So yeah, that's definitely. I wish I could do that.
I don't take as many chances anymore on dramas, which sounds bad to say, but like I would rather skip it and kind of understand like, oh, it was never for me, versus try and get through it and drop it, because then I've wasted my time.
That's so fair. No, I definitely. Yeah. I think going forward, I think that's what I said to myself is in 2024, I want to watch less, and I not even for anything else, rather than just wanting to be able to balance more. Like I think I've said this before. Like I want to read more. especially with our current lineup, I find that I'm watching dramas Monday to Sunday, and I just don't get a little break. And also, yeah. no one's forcing me to do this. Why am I spending the whole week? So yeah, I think going forward, I'm definitely gonna do what Jess is doing in terms of like kind of just picking my battles, picking the ones that I kind of want to do, the ones that yeah. I think I will stick with. That's very good advice, Jess.
I have a book club that runs every month, and I feel so bad because I think there was one month where I didn't read the book, but otherwise I'm always rushing to get the book done. Oh. And we each take a turn hosting at each other's places. So anytime it's my turn, I've probably read like 80% of the book, but I will pretend like I read the whole thing and have questions ready to keep the conversation going.
You know what? Yeah.
The fake it till you make it mentality is like so real. Yeah.
So real.
No, I love that. No, I love that.
Yeah. So anyway, we are here now. We're going to talk about this year's dramas. Before we get into like our top 10, our worst, our drops, etc., what did you think of the year as a whole?
I don't feel like it was a good year to me. For me, I think it was a weak year. A lot of season twos and threes of shows, something like double digits of season twos and threes of K-dramas, which is quite a new thing in recent years. Usually you just have the one season and you're done, but now we're getting multiple seasons of shows. Or we're getting seasons this year that require a season two. So more than ever, we're getting webtoon adaptations. That's always been the case in K-drama land, but I feel like it's at an all-time high.
Yeah.
And Lord have mercy, the past lives / time travel this year was...
Oh. Wrap it up.
Oh, no. It was out of control. It was too much.
Honestly,
the trope wouldn't bother me so much because every year there's always these times of like past lives and time travel shows every year. But the trope wouldn't bother me so much this year if it wasn't such a quality issue.
Yeah.
And I feel like other than a few shows, which we'll definitely touch on this year, the rest are so forgettable. Like, just a forgettable. Like, once the new year happens and you start watching 2024 shows, you won't remember more than half of these shows. And I feel like that's a problem. So yeah. That's my general assessment of 2023.
No, I completely agree. I think what I've been saying is I think it's very much been a quantity over quality year. Like, I have never, I mean, to be fair, I haven't been watching dramas for that long, but I've never had my current watch list be this heavy. Like, this is bloody ridiculous. Like, at one time I'm watching 7 or 8. No. And again, like, exactly like you said, Jess, I think a lot of them are so forgettable that why do we need so many? I really wish they had prioritized like making really good, memorable dramas, and then going forward, that's just kind of what we have to talk about in 2023, rather than there was like 60 odd and we only really cared about 10. Like I struggled to make a top 10. Like, I feel like a lot of the dramas kind of made my top 10 just because something needed to fit. Something needed to get there. But a lot of them, I'm kind of like, I wouldn't recommend this to somebody. I wouldn't be like, if this is your first drama, you'd watch it. Whereas last year and the years before, it was like, no, you have to watch this. I know you'd love it. There are very few that I could go to my non-K-drama friends and be like, yeah, definitely watch this. And I feel like that's sad.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think for this year, I agree that it was quantity over quality, especially because now we had all the streamers trying to get something on their platform. And so I had made a post earlier in the year about, oh, now it feels like everyone's so creative and everyone's getting a green light to have their drama because the platform is looking for that audience attention to bring you over. And so there were just too many out. And I gotta say, for when I'm looking at my top 10 list now, I feel like these are actors who have been in the game for a long time. I don't seem to have like the young, fresh folks who are new in the game. But there are young, fresh folks in these dramas that had standout moments. And so I'm excited for them, especially someone like Lee Jung-ha in Moving. I think he did a fantastic job with his role. So, yeah, I'm excited for the new talents, but at the same time, I want to honor the older talent, and also I need the platforms to like maybe merch, because I can't afford it. I can't afford to have Disney. I thought Disney was going out but they're still producing dramas.
No, and I made a post at the beginning of the year saying that, like, the Disney K-drama lot were, like, really taking the crown. And they made me come back to the Netflix. They made me come back and issue a statement saying that I was wrong. Like, how can you embarrass me? Because I really thought, like, Disney had taken it. And then Netflix just came rolling out with all these fun ones. I was like, I was rooting for you, Disney. Like, what? We were all rooting
for you.
But yeah, you're so right. I can't have Disney, Netflix, this and that. It's just ridiculous. It's too much.
It is. And they know it. They know that people are trying to cut back on their subscriptions and trying to save money. Now we can't share passwords with people on Netflix. And it's like, they're making it prohibitively annoying to have all of these subscription services. And so they're competing with one another. And what I find is that because K-dramas are so important to the lineup now, like The Glory was in the top three, like, TV shows from Netflix this year based on people's watch time. And because they're seeing the numbers, because they're seeing that it's viable to keep producing K-dramas, I'm feeling like they're splitting seasons left and right because they want to keep people subscribed. They're not going to drop all the episodes at once. They're not going to air it weekly or whatever. They're going to be like, first four episodes here, first eight episodes here, and then 3 months later, like The Glory, here's the rest of the show. Yeah. And they're keeping people subscribed by basically bamboozling us and holding these shows hostage. That's how I feel.
No, 100%.
I completely agree. A little birdie told me, I spoke to someone who works at Netflix, and she's like, yeah, when you see a drama on Disney now, it's because Disney is paying more than Netflix is paying right now. And so you're getting all these experienced actors seem to move over to Disney, while when Netflix first came, they were definitely going on to that platform. So yeah, even though Disney was leaving Korea, I think they decided to make a comeback because they're seeing just how profitable it is. As a fan, as a longtime fan, I'm like, oh, so you're here now. Where were you? When I was doing torrents, and I was watching YouTube at 144p. Like, where were you?
Not the 144p. That's triggering.
You lot have been through a lot. So sorry. I personally always had a HD experience.
She's like, can't relate.
I'm so sorry.
Oh no, I feel that, Carol. Or going, this never happened to me, but going to like stores and renting or buying the seasons in DVD form.
I used to go to the Asian night markets to just go buy DVDs, and I had DVDs of dramas. Like, now I'm thinking about it, because after I watched that new movie, Leave the World Behind, I'm like, damn, I gotta get back on my DVD set and
physical media.
Yeah.
I do miss that.
Yeah, I do.
No, I still have like my collection of CDs. Like, I used to always buy like my favorite albums on CD. So I've literally still got them. And I look at them, I'm like, oh, like, what do you mean I'm only using Spotify now? We used to, back in the day, we'd put in the little DVD player, press play, tunes flowing through the house. Oh, I miss that vibe.
What were some of the tropes that you loved versus the ones that you're like, if I see this in 2024, I'm gonna unsubscribe?
Well, why don't you go first? It seems like you have something in mind, Frankie.
No, because I think it's because I'm saying this with love. Like, I don't think I'd be angry if I saw it in 2024, but I don't want to see the past lives thing again. Like, they need to wrap that up. They need to wrap it up. I think the once, the twice, the three times, that was cute. And then it just became every other drama. There was a past lives connection. And then I guess in that same realm, the time travel thing. Love time travel. I'm a time travel babe. I always will watch a time travel drama. Mm-hmm. I've had enough. I think I've had my fill. So those two, I think, maybe 2025. Like, give it a year break, bring it back. We have enough. But other than that, I love the rest of the trips. Like, Grumpy Ex-Sunshine, like, what's it called? like hockey, not even hockey, what's it, like a jock versus, or like the, like, have you guys watched All of Us Are Dead?
Oh,
like the president versus like the class clown. Yes, love that vibe. So I think it's literally just that past life time travel that I'm sick of right now.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
However, that being said, it was overdone. It was the quality was way down on a lot of these, and I think it's just, it's too much, and it's exhausting to be. And then for some reason, what they would do is they wouldn't necessarily market the show as a past lives.
Yes,
thing, which it is was frustrating.
Like a gotcha.
Exactly. So if for time travel, they'll be like, oh, like this is like in a, you know, time slippage or whatever in the promo and marketing. But then for past lives, that was not the case at all. It was like, surprise, bitch. We're in the past now. What the hell is that? The bait and switch. The bait and switch.
It was crazy. Yeah.
I agree.
It's so wrong.
It was too much. Yeah. And one place that I would like to see retire is that same damn house from Love to Hate You.
Oh, no, I know the one.
That everybody has gone to shoot at. I'm like, people, there are more houses. I swear there are more houses in Korea. That one, you know, in the year of Vincenzo, it was that art gallery one. And then finally, the bridge with the fireworks.
No, stop it. That's really cute. No, you're going too far. You're going too far. That's really cute. Like, they're standing there. They look at their loved one. No.
Stop it. Ignore her. Stop it, Frankie. It was like back to back to back. We had like three dramas.
Oh, the bridge. Back. Yeah, no, fair.
Oh, man. It was, yeah.
I agree with you. I think I didn't watch enough dramas for it to be a real problem for me this year. But yeah, they recycle
those houses. Building
locations like it's nobody's business. And they're like, they won't get it.
They won't get it.
They won't recognize this from this show or that show. And it's like, baby, we're not stupid. We're here all the time.
Like, I'm always on my Zoom.
So let's talk about our top 10s. Or would we like to start with our worst first?
Oh, okay, let's do that. Let's do, okay, top 5 worst K-dramas. Is that what you want us to talk about?
Let's talk about our top 5 worst K-dramas of 2023.
Okay, I'm just going to list them out. Okay. So I have...
Write them down.
I have Duna. I have Destined with You. I have See You in My 19th Life. And then these two I didn't end up watching, but because of Osmosis and being in the socials so much, I feel like these count. King the Land and A Time Called You, because no one was okay after that. It seemed like everyone was just befuddled. So, all right, wow. Who's next?
So my 5 was Destined with You. My 4 was Kokdu. My 3 was Heartbeat. My 2 was True to Love. And then my number 1 was A Duty After School.
All right. My bottom 5 were The Heavenly Idol. Again, you see why I said I don't like watching new people. They're not new, but they are sort of new.
New enough. Okay? Yeah.
Borat Deborah, A Time Called You, Strong Girl Namsoon, and Our Blooming Youth.
Yeah, I'm making notes.
I have some questions for you guys about a couple of these. So I don't have questions about Destined with You. I understand that one perfectly. I don't have questions about Heartbeat or Borat Deborah / True to Love. I do want to hear about why you dislike Duty After School, which I haven't watched, but I'm super interested.
Oh, you're going to get me heated. Duty After School, let's just rip that band-aid off, because honestly that one was on track to probably get into my top 10. Like I was very excited. It was giving All of Us Are Dead-esque, which is why I should watch Night Has Come, which is another similar drama with that kind of vibe. But yeah, so that was, I think they split that in two. It was 6 episodes and then 4, so there was like that, I think, 2 months break in between. Anyway, those 4 episodes came and it was a bloody mess. A bloody mess. I guess no spoilers, but spoilers. Spoilers. They literally killed off everyone. They killed off all of the kids at the end of the show. And why that threw me was because, again, why? And then two, because that didn't even follow the webtoon. So the webtoon, a lot more of the kids survived. They, the writers of the K-drama, kind of just took it upon themselves to just X everyone off. And that how they
gets me so was, heated.
I'm literally sweating. So like, I'm hot. Like, I cannot believe they did that to me. And what's even worse is that they died in the most inhumane way. Like, it was a school shooting type of energy. Like, I'm so, it was so bad. And like, there were, I think a lot of the discourse on TikTok was very much like from American watchers saying like, this was just so triggering and so unnecessarily so. And like that whole last episode, there was just trigger warnings all over the place. There was essay, like it was just, it was a completely different show. And the writers will pay for what they did. They will pay for that.
They will pay for that.
Yeah. I ain't forget. Duty After School writers, hold tight.
Who wrote Duty After School? Now I have to look it up.
No, because, yeah, you're getting an email from me.
Oh my God. I didn't know. I don't understand why they changed the freaking webtoon.
I didn't even know they did that until someone said.
It's already there. It's already done.
All the information.
Why are we changing the recipe?
Oh, I'm just so hot and heated.
Duty After School webcomic is Ha Il Kwan is the webcomic writer, and then Yoon Soo is the writer, screenwriter of Duty After School. I don't.
Yoon Soo?
Yeah, Yoon Soo.
Yeah, yeah, you know what you did.
I never heard of this writer.
When I catch you outside.
When I get you. Listen. But sorry, while we're here, I heard a lot of a time called You slander.
You know what? Let's talk about it, because this is a show that I have been meaning to talk about why it's like just got me. But I'm just like, you know what, TikTok, you know, sometimes nuanced conversation is not the place for TikTok. But let's talk about it today. Okay, I watched this show twice. But here's the thing that I find with these time travel, time loop. They try to be smarter than they are.
Yeah.
And that was my issue with A Time Called You. They made it seem like it makes sense when it doesn't.
I feel like the thing with A Time Called You is that, not like, no matter how hard you try to explain, it does get really confusing.
That's really prohibitively complicated.
Yeah. I had to draw a diagram, to be very fair. Like, I had to really sit down and get like a whole pen and literally be like, this is this and this. But yeah,
it's trying to get cute with it. It seems like the writer's trying to get cute. And I've heard over and over to skip A Time Called You and just watch the original, Sunday or One Day, which is a Taiwanese drama, I believe, and to completely skip A Time Called You because it just doesn't do anything justice. And
even Ahn Hyo-sub is like, I got confused.
They asked him about it and he was like, what happened. Like, he doesn't get it.
But that's the thing though. I feel like where I've understood it, I might have just like done it in a way to like, it could still be very wrong. Maybe I've understood it in a way that I have peace. Because I think I really do like convoluted dramas. Like, I love things that mess up with my head because I kind of enjoy the chase of trying to understand it. So maybe like, again, I've made it that I've understood it, but I've never really understood it. You know what I mean? Oh, so like, when I explain it, like, it adds up in my head. Like, the idea that two of them end up at the airport because there just has to be overlap in the timeline that they're both in. Kuyon-jun still very much exists, but because Kuyon-jun dies, he has to become Nam-shion again. So there has to be overlap. I think very much the thing of like, whenever you see time travels, the past can't change. Like, the past stays the same. So where in the past we know very much that Junhee was in love with Kuyon-jun and he died in a plane crash. We know everything that happened in 2023 has to stay the same. So we know that Kuyon-jun has to exist, basically. He has to be at the airport. That's kind of how the two are there. But I get what you mean about how is people walking around. I'm just saying it's because post-2003, he's just been living. He's just been living.
I agree with you. My issue was I was seeing it as we have the same person with two souls living at the same time in different time periods.
I like that, yeah.
That was, to me, I'm like, you guys, you're doing too much.
Because too much.
No way someone has two souls in one person. You know what I mean?
I saw some critique that someone was talking about how they didn't like the show because of its treatment of the gay character or the gay soul. and 100%. That it subscribes to the kill your gays trope. And I was like, that's enough of a reason for me not to watch the show.
That is so fair. And I think a lot of people said the same. And I completely agree. It was very like an unnecessary bit of trauma that they added in. Like I did understand that they wanted to show Kuyunjun's like past life. But then to give 5 seconds of a very cute romance story and then just have them off, but I think it was by a truck again, by the way, to have them off by the truck was just so ridiculous. And so like, it just, we didn't need that. And I think what another thing that's really bad is a lot of people wanted to watch A Time Called You because of Rowan's cameo and the idea that what's it called, him and Ahn Hyo-seok were going to have that whole romance. And then they did it in like a 20 second thing. It was, I completely agree. It was just a very unnecessary thing to do.
I agree, because I remember watching it for them, and I thought that was the best part of the show.
Literally, yeah.
And I thought it was such a huge deal to have very visibly prolific actors do a mini BL in the show because of all the, culture of BLs. And so when to have them killed off right away, that really pissed me off. But let's end A Time Called You for now. Let's work it for now.
So and Jess, you said King the Land. Do you wanna I'm fuming, by the way.
I hadn't watched King the Land, and I had so many people, especially when it ended, ask me if I'd watched it. And I was like, nah, babes, because I don't like Yuna. I'll stick with that. I will die on that hill. I just don't like Yuna. Ever since the K2, she has never rebounded in my mind. And what's sad is that everyone was really excited to watch it because Yuna and Juno are good friends. They're both idols, and this is his follow-up drama after The Red Sleeve. So everyone had such high expectations for it. He's finally playing the CEO character. I could give a fuck about CEO trope ever. Like, I have seen it to death. So when they were like, he's a CEO, I'm like, of course he is. He's a CEO. And and then Yuna, which I was like, oh, God bless him. And then I saw this promo for King the Lion, and I was like, oh, this is really exciting, because they had this song in it called Adore You or Adore Me. And I was like, oh my god, if this is what the OST sounds like, I'm super excited for it, because it's not conventional. It sounds like Charlie XCX type pop synth music, and I was like, oh my god, I'm so into it, I fucking love that. And then I realized they had just licensed that song for the promo, and that was not the style of the OST and the music in the show. So as soon as I realized that, I was like, I'm never circling back on this. I'm not gonna watch King the Land. Come to find out, when people were messaging me, they fucking hated King the Land. They could not stand it. They thought it was trash. They didn't like the plot, if there even was a plot, and it was very subpar and boring to them. And someone even did a hot take series on my Patreon feed about King the Land, fresh off the boat, basically, from watching King the Land. And I caught them at a good time. They went into detail, and I was just like, you know what? I'm so glad that this is the goal, right? For me, is to not even deal with it, not even press play and waste my time. Like, I just sniffed it out, and I knew this isn't for me. So the fact that it ended up being on everybody's hate pillow for 2023 was, I was like, this is very sad and very fitting. So that's my kingdom take.
Okay, I'll let Frankie go first and get her thoughts, but I have some thoughts too. Frankie.
You know what it is? I think King the Land was very much just for vibes. I always need to have a drama that's just for vibes. Like, I don't have high expectations. I'm not asking it to change the world. Just something very lighthearted, like a cute little love story. Do you know what I mean? And I think King the Land gave me that. I literally went in every weekend. It was my little serotonin boost. I had a time. And I think I definitely get what people were saying in terms of like, I was speaking with my cousin about this today, actually. She was just like, I don't even understand. I don't know when they fell in love. Like, when did that happen? And I just felt really triggered. And I think she's right, because I can't recall when they fell in love. But all I know is that they did. Okay? They did, and they had a wedding, and they had a great time. First of all, when was the last time you saw a K-drama wedding? Okay? They gave me a beautiful wedding scene. I ate that right up. I had a time. Listen, King the Land was honestly just a fun watch for me. Like, it's not on my top 10. It's not on my top 20, but it was just a cute little cute little something. So they hate for it. They hate that it gets really hurt. Like, guys, please, let's have fun.
So emotional. I love it.
I'm like, why? Like, why do we need to cook her? But the Yuna thing, I've always heard that. I've always heard that she doesn't really get a bad rep since the K2. I'm the lucky few that never watched it, so I just don't have any type of I don't have any expectations from the babe. So
I, you know, I'm a little different. I liked King the Land. It's not something I can watch again, but I felt like it was a very good introductory drama for the young teen, early, like, first year of uni kind of person. And so it felt a little nostalgic for the dramas that I had watched in the past. And when I started really getting into K-pop, that was before they debuted. But when they did debut, I was very much into 2PM and Girls' Generation.
2PM is that group, okay? Like, period. I love 2PM. Sorry, I had to interject.
I was so into them that I would watch their ads. And Girls' Generation and 2PM used to do these ads that were basically movies. And you'd watch them for like 5 minutes, 7 minutes. And I'm like, ooh, I really like them. And so when I saw them getting together to do a drama, I'm not a biggest fan of Yuna. I don't think she can act.
Dang, two of you. Oh. Dang.
You just don't. It's like, the thing is, Yuna. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
I think of Girls' Generation, my bias is Suyeon.
Yes.
I also think that she can act, right?
Yeah.
But Yuna, she's like the, you know, there was another girl in the Wonder Girls who I would describe just like Yuna. Wonder Girls is another K-pop group, very famous. But they have the same, they were the Eulchang, which is the pretty girl of the group.
Okay.
So they became actors, and I'm just like, sis is not doing it. However, she did well. I'll give her her flowers. She did well in the movie with Hyun Bin and Daniel Henney, Confidential Assignment.
I've heard of that one.
She did well in Big Mouth with Lee Jong Suk.
I think so too. But again, I feel like the K2 was a lot of you lot's like turning point. And where I just didn't watch that, I think that's probably why I think she's fine.
Please stop. The K2 was fantastic.
Oh.
You have to watch Love Rain.
Oh,
that is what made
that's
me
a pull.
An enemy.
That's a pull. I remember watching Love Rain.
So you said Love Rain will make me hate. You know, maybe let's not watch Love Rain.
No, don't like no. Yo,
Love Rain was nuts.
Whoa,
nuts.
I'm sorry. I'm like way back in like my Love Rain watch that show. I don't know if we want to say the plot of that show, but it was like, so Yuna and the male lead, they fall in love. They can't be together. And so many years later, their children meet and fall in love. Played by the same two actors in their younger
years. Oh, no.
Because, of course, Yuna's daughter would look identical to her and the male lead's son would look identical to him. And then it becomes sort of like incestuous because the parents meet again when they're older and they start getting together. But then the children are already in love. So they're trying to like work around it. It's very melodrama. And Carol can't even like, she's just shaking her head.
I'm going to put a big X through that. I wrote that down thinking it was going to be cute. So I'm just going to X that down.
It makes the K2 look like an award-winning show.
It does.
Like,
let's put another X through that.
So, yeah. I can't.
Anyway, fair. So Yuna.
She had great chemistry, and I think they had one of the best kiss choreographies.
I'm not
this
saying
year.
That
yeah,
they
yeah.
didn't have chemistry, because it, you could see it in even the little clips and edits and crap like that, but I'm a plot person, so if there's no...
And there was no plot. That's
plot,
so fair.
Then
yeah.
Why am I here?
I loved it more than I did See You in My 19th Life.
Now that is crazy, Carol. Carol?
I did not like. Like, I'm surprised I didn't put in "See You My 19th Life" in this bad list, but
Carol
just knows how I feel.
What you gotta say about "See You My 19th Life"? We're already here. Like, pull up a chair.
Pull up a chair.
An Bohyeon, first of all, he can't act.
Okay, we're doing way too much right now. I'm gonna, yeah. It's time to pick it up. She just threw that out. Did you watch My Name?
We haven't watched My Name.
So yeah. Jess,
the star of that show.
Jess, let's pack our stuff up. Let's pack our stuff up.
I feel bad in saying that An Bohyeon can't act. I don't think it's. I don't.
You agree?
I don't feel that strongly about him being terrible, I should say. Like, I don't, I'm somewhere in the middle between you guys because
okay.
He's not the best, but he's definitely not the worst.
I feel like I've only really seen him in like a couple of dramas. But to say that he's terrible, I think my heart dropped a bit.
Thank you.
So, See You in My 19th Life is not a good showcase for him at all. I think he was a blank, like, deer in headlights the whole time.
You know, the combo that was the worst for him, because I don't like her too, is military Doberman prosecutor. Ugh, two of them? It was just like, why are you punishing us? Is it because I don't want to, like, pay on a platform to watch it?
Girl, I got so cooked over my take on Toboa on TikTok because people were coming out of the woodworks to defend that woman as if she hired them to say good things about her. I do not like Toboa at all.
I think, that's definitely what put me off Destined with You, I think. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about our favorites.
Okay.
What were your top 10?
Okay. Do you want us to do 10 to 1? Like the ranking or just any?
I don't have mine ranked.
Okay. Well, I ranked mine because I'm a crazy person. But I will give my list in lowest to highest, I guess. So I have Worst of Evil, which I'm still watching. That goes to show how I was scraping the bottom of the barrel here. I chose a show that I didn't yet. So that's the 10th one. Number 9, I have Revenant. Number 8, Crash Course in Romance. 7, Love to Hate You. 6, Celebrity. 5, Perfect Marriage Revenge. Number 4, DP Season 2. Number 3, The Glory. Number 2, Moving. Number 1, My Dearest.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay, cool. So yeah, a lot of mine are ongoing, but like, I love. So if they don't mess up in the last couple of episodes, we could be in the game. But also kind of what Jess was saying, like, I was just scraping. I was trying to find something. So my 10 is The Story of Park's Marriage. My 9 is A Time Called You. Oh. My 8 is Tell Me That You Love Me. 7 is My Perfect Stranger. 6 is Death's Game. 5 is Perfect Marriage Revenge. 4 is Celebrity. 3 was Twinkling Watermelon. 2 was The Glory, and then 1 was Moving.
Wow.
Yeah.
First of all, you like mellow stuff, eh?
I do. I'm very much a mellow babe.
Slow romance.
Yep, you just get me.
Let me do my list and then we can react. I have Moving, The Glory, My Dearest, Agency, Crash Course in Romance, Big Bet, Love to Hate You, Tale of the Nine-Tailed, 1938. Now that I put Dr. Cha, yes, I'll keep Dr. Cha, Not Others, and Daily Dose of Sunshine. Yeah.
Fair.
Those are my top 10. I'm really surprised. I want to hear about Celebrity for both of you. It's in your top 10.
Celebrity was a masterpiece.
Are you ready? Yes. So Celebrity.
Let's look in.
Celebrity is so stupid good. It plays on that like reality show messiness that we all come for. And it's pure drama and petty. And I really love petty. It is the seedy underworld of the influencers in Korea. And it's stupid. It sounds stupid when you say it out loud, but I think it really worked. It was a lot of big personalities clashing and everyone got what they deserved. And I was happy with that ending. So
No, I completely agree. Celebrity was like literally just a perfect, not even trash TV, because I don't even think it was trash, but it was just very much like just was saying, an insight into the influencer culture. But I think what I loved about Celebrity was very much like the cliffhangers every episode. So picture this. So Celebrity dropped whenever it dropped, and I started watching it, let's say 9 p.m. I've watched the first episode. I said, okay, I've got to go to episode two. Episode two ends, we've got to do three. Four, same thing. I binged that whole, I went to bed at 6 a.m. Like, it was not, I was in this. And I think, again, because, so how a Celebrity kind of was set up was that, like, an influencer was kind of just spilling the tea on live, and everyone was tuned in watching. And how every episode would, like, end would be her saying, like, you think that's over? There's more to talk about. And I was just like, yeah, fill me in, sis. Let me know what's next. I was so locked in. And again, I really admired not even that, like, the artistry, but just like how they did the whole mystery thing of, like, again, we thinking that she's dead, but maybe she's not, maybe she is. It felt like a true
serial. Like, it was just serialized television.
They just really, they did the mystery, the action. It just felt so, I was in there. That top 10 is well deserved. Well deserved.
It was short and sweet as well, so it wasn't like 16 episodes. It was, what, like 12?
Yeah.
10 Brilliant out of 10. TV. I mean, 10 out of 10 for entertainment, because I think that's what we're going for here. It's really entertaining. Yeah.
Did you watch Celebrity, Carol?
Absolutely. I finished it in the night.
And you didn't? Fair.
So it's okay.
I think you both said Love to Hate You.
Yes.
I didn't even finish that.
Okay. Tell us why.
I think I wasn't bothered. That's that. I'm very much a drama dropper by nature. But I think the biggest thing for me is, like, the male lead was very, like, anti-women from, like, the jump. And I was just like, like, this is not how I want the romance to start. I want the romance to go. And I think a big part of wanting to watch Love to Hate You was because of the hype. Like, everyone was saying, this is so, so great. And I just wasn't moved. And I think for me, I'm very much, if I'm not moved, then something is getting moved. So that got moved off my watch list. Love and light to everybody involved. But I think it was, the male lead was just very unlikable. So that just didn't make me want to go for it. Yeah.
It's actually a kind of a bait and switch, because he's a feminist. Actually, like, I think that you're on the female lead side, because he says he's, like, off the wall things, and you're like, whoa, red flag. But it's actually more of like a yellow flag, and he is very good to her and communicative throughout the show, and it is a very mature romance, I think, which is what everyone was gravitating towards. Tae Yoo's amazing, and the female lead is really good as well. She's sort of like a one woman show in terms of, like, trying to battle the patriarchy on her own, like, throughout. And I think I really appreciated that it came at a time when there was a drama drought, romance drought, and this drops near Valentine's Day, and everyone was like, oh my god, it's actually really good. It's very old school. You know, you got miscommunication at the very beginning, then you got fake dating trope, and it turns into, like, a really sort of nice romance between some older actors, and I really liked it. And then the secondary couple is good too. What is the man's name with the long hair that's so hot? Oh my god.
I know exactly who you're talking about. He plays a really creepy role though.
Kimchi.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
He plays very creepy roles, though.
The long hair did something for him.
It does. It's like adds like 20 levels of hotness to him, I think, because when he cuts it, you're like kind of like, oh, okay.
The hair made you.
Yes. But he's in it, and he's a highlight as well in the show.
Yeah. I've watched all of his dramas.
Oh.
So back in the day, he was not as amazing as this right now.
Oh wow.
And so to see him, like, age and, like, become fine wine and explore, that's something I've really enjoyed and appreciated seeing in him. Brings me to, did you not watch My Dearest, Frankie?
So I did not watch My Dearest. I don't plan to watch My Dearest. I feel like I've said this before in the most, like, again, love and light always. I don't do historical dramas. I really struggle, guys. Yeah, I'm so sorry. Love and light. Okay. I think there's something about them. I think I love a modern show. Like, I feel like it's easier for me to connect with the characters when it's like a modern setting. But I've heard great things about My Dearest, and that, even the edits are, that I saw really did make me want to watch. And then I was unsure if it was going to end well or not, so that kind of put me off as well. I really would like to watch My Dearest, but I think the only like historical esque, and it doesn't even count, drama that I've watched is Alchemy of Souls. Like, anything else? Oh no!
I'm just so sorry.
I think this is
apologize. I think my face was too aggressive of a reaction. I'm sorry.
People can't see this.
Alchemy of Souls is your only experience, really, with a costume drama.
Love and light always. But I have seen like the past lives thing, so of course, you know, I've seen little sprinkles here and there. But no, I have not watched a full historical drama. I don't think.
You know, you're making me think back to like when I first started watching historicals, and it's a shock. I remember being kind of like, what is this? Why are they wearing these funny hats? And why is everyone dressed in silk? And why is everyone wearing little buns on top of their heads? I don't think this person looks attractive with a bun on top of their head. Like, the list goes on. And then now I eat that shit up. Like, I love historicals, and it's hard. I think it's hard though, because you can have light historicals that are, what I mean by light is lighter in tone. And then you have big, large scale epics like My Dearest that are extremely high budget, extremely high on stakes, and is generally historically accurate. And you're just stunned by the quality and the acting and the star-crossed lovers aspect that really had people just clamoring to see more of them, to see if they make it or not. That was a huge thing in My Dearest, was like, are they gonna even make it? Is it gonna be a happy ending? And yeah. I think a lot of those things coming together, all the good things about Sagooks coming together for My Dearest, made it the red sleeve of this year, of 2023. It is a masterpiece, in my opinion, in my humble opinion. And it is not beginner friendly. I don't think it's a beginner friendly Sagook for someone to try and watch a historical for the first time. But
what is a beginner friendly for
you? I don't know. I don't know. Like, you could watch like 100 Days My Prince or Rookie Historian Gu Haeryong. Those are more beginner friendly.
Sun Kyung-gwan Scandal.
Say that one?
Sun Kyung-gwan Scandal.
Sun Kyung-gwan Scandal. Yeah, that's an oldie. I can't believe you mentioned that one. That's what, 2015, 16, 14?
I don't know. Cat was offended. Why? What are you talking about?
To be very fair, I did start watching 100 Days My Prince, and then it was very much I just forgot about it and kept to pushing. But I got far. Like, that was the furthest I had ever gotten in a historical drama, because I really did enjoy like both leads. I love Dio is his name. I think he's adorable, and he's a really good actor as well. So that definitely held me tight.
Dio is really good. Sun Kyung-gwan Scandal came out in 2010.
Whoa.
That show was 13 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. No. So sorry.
It's a good rewatch for me.
So we talked about Love to Hate You. We talked about My Dearest. We all have The Glory and Moving on our top spots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we even need to go into detail? Like, The Glory and Moving are amazing.
Sensational viewing experiences.
The Glory is a fantastic win for Song Hye-kyo. It's like, finally, no one
you got this one.
Talk shit on her name, honestly.
Yeah,
and I'm so glad I was one of them.
One thing about me, if Song Hye-kyo had one hater, it was me. Like, if she had no haters, it meant that I was gone. Like, it meant that I was unavailable.
Wait, tell me. Tell me more.
Yeah, no. Again, something about her spirit. It was very much, I had watched, I think I had seen her in Descendants of the Sun, And I was like, oh, that's all right. But then she kind of got typecasted into this whole like nuna role. Like, so she was always the one that was dating like a younger male lead. And to be fair, that, even the reverse of that, I'm not a big fan of, like, when the male lead is like way older than like the female lead. I just don't like big age gaps. And that's kind of a lot of the dramas that she was doing. So I didn't even gravitate towards them. And then she did a really trash drama with Jang Ki Young. What was that one called? Now We're Breaking Up.
Hi,
so
you know what I've learned, yeah? When the visuals, when the
it's too
editorial
much.
Visuals,
yeah, something's
got to
give. Something has to give. Something has to give. Something has to give. So yeah, I think a lot of that.
Two of her dramas are Nuna romances. Now We Are Breaking Up and Encounter. You could probably say The Glory is a Nuna romance because they think he's supposed to be younger than
her. And then and there's another one she did. She definitely did. I feel like she's done loads. Now We're Breaking Up, Encounter.
I'd like to bring some levity to it. Okay.
Okay.
Because I've been trying to find this article I read years ago about how the Korean government was very concerned that women did not want to get married. So as part of the, you know how, I don't know which agency it is, but one of the agencies in the government said they were going to be pushing more Nuna romances. And as soon as they said that, she got lined up for all these Encounter, I guess The Glory, if you will, but she got into her Nuna romance bag. So I feel like she signed up for it. And she's getting a lot of money for it, but it was intentional. Because we had a moment of a burst of Nuna romances.
We definitely did.
She plays it well.
No, for real. I think that was the biggest thing I think that like kind of put me off her vibe. But no, when I saw her in The Glory, I was like, oh, like you do this. Like this is a job for you. Like you ate down.
Oh, yeah.
There was rent to be paid. The people were knocking on her door and they needed that money. And she said, I need to act for my life. She did sensational. And all the awards that she got were just so well-deserved. I love that she's having her moment for real.
All right. If there is one drama on your top 10 that everyone should watch, which would you recommend?
Carol, it's a tie between two. The two that come to mind is Perfect Marriage Revenge and Twinkling Watermelon. But I do think Perfect Marriage Revenge has that oomph. So we're going to say that. Perfect Marriage Revenge is my final answer. On the clock.
Really?
Yes. I think Perfect Marriage Revenge was just, everything about it was so, not messy, because I don't think it was messy, but it was very much, I love seeing the female lead like get their lick back. That that's something that I will always stand. So like The Glory, get your lick back. What's it called? What are the revenge dramas where we watch anything that is the female lead? Celebrity, get your lick back. Ballerina, that was a K movie, get your lick back. I love when the female lead just says, no, I'm not having this. And that's very much what Perfect Marriage Revenge gave. So I think stuff like that in itself, whatever. But then also the dynamic between the two leads. Yeah. I love an attentive male lead. One that is so soft with you and gives you the space to grow. And that's exactly what Sodeok was. Ah, that's my green flag for the year. Suck it all around. Yep.
Okay. And
he said
another drama.
Twinkling Watermelon.
Okay.
Yes, I didn't. Fair, just at the same.
I'm like, I have one more time travel past life in my books for 2023, and it's gone to the marriage contract one. So
Park's marriage
the rest
contract.
Of you, yeah, the rest
okay.
of you,
it just didn't. It didn't pass the audition. Did not pass Fair. The audition. Okay.
And then young people burned.
So for me, I think the essential watch on my list, they're all great, and especially the top five, I feel, but
for sure,
DP, like you have to watch DP. I think that's a very important show. I think it's very uncomfortable. It is unnerving and sad and will make you feel things. It requires all the trigger warnings, and I think that people, especially because if you're into K-drama, you're more than likely also into K-pop, and between the two, you're constantly seeing some of your favorite actors go and into the military for their 2-year service. And this is the like, what happens? What do they do? What happens there? And yeah. It is incredibly like emotional, and it is a highly, I can't heap enough praise on it because it is so high quality and high stakes, and it's about military deserters and like, why do they desert the military? Yeah. And again, it will not give you the warm and fuzzies. This is not that show that's like a happy-go-lucky story about joining up for your 2 years in the military and what are the repercussions of those 2 years. Like, how do you, not only do you survive that, like, how do you survive it, but how does this affect the rest of your life? Yeah. And it's incredibly moving. I think it's going to irritate your soul. And that's why I think people should watch it. There's not even a little bit of romance in it. If anything, there's bromance to make up for it. Mm-hmm. And DP, I think, is just essential watching. Because to me, if you are a fan of a country's media, like the music, the television shows, the movies, I think you also have to watch stuff that can, that really criticizes the society at large. Hmm. Something that is not, you know, romance and good things and K-pop and choreo and like all the fun things that make you feel good. Like, this will make you feel bad. And I think it's necessary.
Brings levity.
Yeah.
For myself, I would say moving and agency. Agency Ooh. Really changed my life. Oh, you gotta see it. It's so fantastic. Agency is with Ibo Young, and at the end she's like, who are you to determine my limits? Or something along those lines. And that was the last line she says in the whole show. And it just reminded me that, again, I told you life-lifed this year, especially with my career. So I was just like, you know what? It's time to stop being in the shadows. And yes, I can be up in front with everyone else. And so, yeah, I highly recommend that because it's often lonely in the career life. It's really good.
Absolutely. No, I love that for you.
And moving, because moving is just, you know, just the level of artistry and moving and storytelling is first of its kind. It's also going to be a blueprint. So
absolutely. Yeah, I don't think I've seen a fantasy, or not even a fantasy, but yeah, I guess something similar to that, like that was just done so like on such a big budget scale. Like, this was cinema. It was like Marvel movie-esque. And I just thought,
well, they wish, wow. So.
They bloody wish. Yeah, Marvel fell off.
Wait, what do you, you're saying Marvel fell off. Okay.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I don't think you want to open up the can with me. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, no.
Well, this is the end of our 2023, and we just want to run through really quick shows for the following categories. Your favorite or best performance overall.
Nam Kun Min from My Dearest as okay. Chang Hyun. And then I also have Ryu Sung Ryong, who plays 2-1 in Moving.
Best performance, I'm probably going to say Rayon from Twinkling Watermelon, only because it shocked me. I was surprised that he had like this in him. So yeah, definitely my breakout star type vibe for me.
Best performance for me, I would say Nam Kun Min. He did amazing. And for women, I would say Song Hye Kyo, The Glory.
Oh,
Song
yeah. Hye Kyo, yeah.
Like, yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Breakout star?
The same for me, I won't lie. I was just really shocked at the range, honestly.
I think for me, it has to be Lee Do Hyun, who had a fantastic year with The Glory, The Good, Bad Mother, Sweet Home 2, okay. and now Death's Game. Okay. I think he's the man of the year. Is he a breakout star? Kind of no, because he was already in a few things like Youth of May and Sweet Home, yeah. the first season of Sweet Home. But I truly feel like this year put him on the map.
For me, I would say Lee Jung Ha from Moving, the guy who played the kid. Breakout star for me. It was my first project seeing him in it, so I thought he did amazing.
Also shout out to Tae Yoo, because between Past Lives and Love to Hate You, like,
he is that. He like a breakout yeah. star though.
Yeah, I feel like he's a veteran.
He's been around.
Is he not?
But
yeah, I feel like he's a veteran.
This is his year. Like,
this might be his mainstream year.
I feel like this is his mainstream year because this is the first that I had heard of him, to be very fair. But I'm also a newbie, so.
Best ensemble cast.
Oh, did we skip best villain?
Sorry, my bad. Best villain.
Okay, best villain.
Someone's gonna hit me.
I'll say the Qing princess from My Dearest, played by Lee Chung Ah, and I'll also put out Yeonjin, played by Lim Ji Hyun in The Glory.
Yes.
That's a very fair answer. Yeah. Okay, fair. Mine is trash now that I think about it because I do agree with Lim Ji Hyun. But I'm not going to lie. I was going to say Rishio from, Byung Woo Suk from Strong Girl Nam Soon. And the reason why I say that is because the PR was crazy. Like, everybody really wanted him to end up like, and I thought we were giggling. Like, I thought everybody was saying that for fun, but they really wanted the female lead to end up with the villain. So I think that in itself says a lot about what That's kind her. Of villain he was.
Listen, I was watching him and I thought he was lead, and when I discovered he wasn't the I'm love rattled. Interest, I was like, it's okay.
But the male lead really did fit the female lead, guys.
Okay, sometimes you just need a bad boy.
Let's do best ensemble cast.
Ooh, for me it's a toss-up between The Glory and Moving, but I think what The Glory did was put all of these actors that are a little older that have been in bit roles here and there throughout K-drama land, and they just gave them a platform, gave them a stage and let them shine, really gave them something to cook with. And so I think I might go with The Glory.
Same. I'm going with The Glory too. Yeah.
Mine is Moving. Okay. Because definitely Moving. I think I cared about every character's backstory. So I feel like that tells me a lot, especially because they did like one episode per character. And the fact that I cared and I didn't find that boring just is a very big testament to that, I think.
Best romance. Now, let's hear it.
For me, it's My Dearest. Hands down.
Jess is like, this is a no-brainer.
Oh, I don't know. Best romance. I think Tell Me That You Love Me has the potential to be my best, like my favorite romance of the year, because I love a slow romance, slow drama life type of thing. But I couldn't tell you. I really don't know. I think I struggled with romance this year. Like, I kind of just watched it for the sake of watching it, but there weren't that really stories that really held with me. I had like couples that I really loved, but I wouldn't say like I loved the whole romance genre as a whole. But yeah, Tell Me That You Love Me is very close. I think it could be my favorite romance for the year.
Best kiss.
I like the two. There's two kisses in My Dearest that I really like: the field kiss in part one, and then the episode 17 kiss. I'll just leave it at that. Like, y'all know which one I'm talking about. And then I just finished The Good Bad Mother, and the stairwell kiss that I had already seen edits of. I was like, whatever. And then I finally watched it. I was like, you know what? This kiss is really good. I think it's really good.
If I say King the Land, will the people tussle? Something. Okay. After that kiss scene, I was like, okay, so Yuna and Junho are going to be the dispatch couple. They're married with kids. Like, there is nothing to discuss here. There is nothing to discuss here because you can't fake that artistry. Sorry, do you know how long that kiss scene was? They had different angles, setups.
I agree with you. That kitchen kiss with the water was sprinkler. Crazy. There's nothing like it.
Year. Yeah, that was masterpiece.
I gotta watch more edits of King the Land.
Look for the kiss first.
The kiss first. But first up.
Most memorable or impactful?
I think The Glory for me.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Best writing for this year. Ooh.
Ooh.
Whew. I got three contenders. One is Moving with Kang Pool, who is the screenplay writer and the webcomic writer. And then we have DP with Kim Bo-tong, who wrote the screenplay / the webcomic, and also the director is also writer-director Han Jun-hee. And then, of course, you got the great Kim Won-suk on The Glory.
Yep, yep.
I think maybe The Glory
I'm going to go with a glory because I know so many people who either love Kim Min-suk or hate her, but you can't deny her impact. And I think this was her first drama where it was as dark. I don't think we've had darkness, this level of darkness from her before. So I'm giving it to her as best writing.
I think best writing, I keep screaming, tell me that you love me. Kim Min-jung is the writer for that. I think for me, I very much love when the script is poetic. And so very, very briefly, the male lead is hearing impaired. So we hear a lot of his inner monologue. And that inner monologue is so poetic. The way he describes her, the way he describes their interactions, like it just made me believe in love again. It was just so gorgeous. And I just think I love when writing really like hits your soul. And that's exactly what the script for Tell Me That You Love Me is. Oh, they can't disappoint me, please.
Best cinematography.
My dearest like took that like easily for me.
100%.
Okay, no, Jess, I need to write down my dearest because this has come up a lot. If I say A Time Called You, would you guys fight? I think it was really pretty.
No. I can compartmentalize easily.
I think it was really pretty. Like the scene that I have etched in my mind is when she's like running through the forest and like it's raining. That was just so that was just so gorgeous. Yeah, I definitely love the cinematography for A Time Called You. I think
best couple.
Carol, what's your cinematography?
Oh yeah, you didn't say.
No, I said my Carol.
Okay, fair.
I have two. I think in terms of visuals, I really do have to give it to my Deben because I honestly don't think I've seen a prettier pairing this year. I'm so sorry. Did you see the photo shoot? My Deben. That's yes. My visual best couple. She said who? No, wait. Carol looks confused. My Deben, Song Kang, and what is my lovely lady's name? Can't recall. Yeah, but I think that pairing visually is. Is that her name? Yes. That pairing looks so gorgeous. So visually, I love that. And then in terms of like the best couple, in terms of like their love, I think Perfect Marriage Revenge. I said before that I love a green flag man that's very like attentive and like gives you the space to grow. And that's very much what our male lead in Perfect Marriage Revenge gave. So those two for that reason.
I sound like a broken record, but my dears. But I will also say I really enjoyed the older couple. They're not that old, but the couple in Crash Course in Romance as well. I thought that they were really sort of well matched.
Yeah. Sure. My best couple for vibes, Yuna and...
Nah! Yeah, look, say what you need to say. Say what you need to say.
Yuna and Ijuno gave the vibes of adorability, right?
Right.
But in terms of like... Ooh, I would say, well, you know what? Let's take Yuna. No, let's take them off. Let's replace them with my dearest and with Han Yu Ju and Jo In Sung from
Yes.
Oh, yes. No, you're so right. You're so right. That kiss scene was lovely. Yeah.
They I stand by you. They were barely in the show together, but they were fantastic.
We felt it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saved myself there.
but Yuna and Junho, you had something there. Stand by that. You had something there.
They were cute. They were close there. They were cute.
They were. Yeah, for sure.
Best love confession, Frankie. Nothing you watch this year can beat my dearest.
That's what I was going to say.
Guys, okay, this doesn't feel like I'm safe space anymore.
because love, the love confessions in my dearest are life-changing.
I'm so sorry. No, I'm not going to have this because my best love confession is from Twinkling Watermelon between Yu-chan and Chung-a. And the idea is that Yu-chan learns a song in sign language to sing to her. I'm sorry, no. Did you hear what I said? No. He learns a song in sign language. That's gorgeous. Uh-huh. And he probably sang it for her. That was stunning.
When you watch My Dearest, you're going to think back to what you're saying now. And you're going to be like, I'm sorry that I was going so hard on Twinkling Watermelon. And I have no doubt that Twinkling Watermelon is a wholesome, beautiful confession moment between those two and him learning the sign language, which was not a spoiler for me because I remember seeing edits of that too. But my dearest is on another level. Are you okay, Carol?
The person I'm talking to can't hear. What else am I going to do but to do sign language to tell them I love them? Is it really that?
No, but that's no. We're not gonna do that. No.
It's bare minimum.
We're not gonna scrape the efforts of Yi-Chan right now, because of course he was already learning sign language to communicate with her. But why this was extra special was that he's a singer and he learnt a song in sign language to sing to her, because basically he had like a big performance that he was gonna perform.
Reaching my audience.
No. He took her to a private room and he was like, wait, I've got something prepared for you. This is just for you, because she didn't. No, you don't have something on a spiral. This is not
Carol. You went for blood right now.
For blood, and I hear what you're saying, bare minimum for sure. But no, and also when he was performing, when he did the concert, the watchers thought he was looking for the person that he was really like spent the whole show pining for. But no, spoiler or like plot twist, he was looking for his one true love. Look, Carol, you're not going to do this to me right now.
Oh my God.
Carol came in. How can you just diminish? And I think, no, he learned a whole song. Carol, I'm offended.
I think, well, the context of My Dearest and like everything is just.
If I watch My Dearest and it doesn't slap.
It blows it out of the water.
If I watch My Dearest and it doesn't slap, I'm coming for you two especially. Yeah. you will give me the hours back, because the way.
It doesn't slap, I will fly to London and take you to dinner.
Let me make a note. So what did you say, Ben?
Frankie, I will say, you mm-hmm. have to get past the first four episodes, because I dropped the drama after episode one. And I was like, oh no, this is not it. And then after episode four, I was like, whoa, okay. People were onto something here. Maybe I should give it.
Have you watched Gone with the Wind, Frankie?
I have not.
Okay, not never mind. I was going to say, if you have, then you know the character Scarlett O'Hara. And Scarlett O'Hara is not a likable character. She's petulant and vain and childish and manipulative. And because My Dearest is a loose retelling of Gone with the Wind, the female lead is that same archetype. She is that way at the beginning of the show, and people were not liking her, and that's why they dropped the show. But she ends up a totally different character by the end of the show, and you're invested in her growth and the strength that comes through some of these situations that they befall them. So
yeah,
she doesn't stay that way, which is the positive.
I'll try it out. Most bingeable.
Perfect Marriage Revenge.
Yes.
Fair. I was going to say Celebrity. That was.
Oh, yeah,
I
went that to was second. Six.
I went to bed at six. Like, that tells you all you need to know.
Hidden Gem.
I'll say Revenant.
Ooh. Fair. Okay.
I will say Our Dating Sim. So that was a BL that I watched.
I love that one.
And it didn't make my top 10 just because, again, I think romance, it was really hard for me to put romance in my top 10. But this, if anything, it'd be like top 20 for sure. Like, I really, really loved Our Dating Sim. And I think it had a lot of really good quotables as well, in terms of, like, I think one of the lines that stuck with me was one of the male leads saying that, I love every version of you I didn't know. Romance is alive. Romance is alive. I know I keep saying that romance didn't really hit, but when it did... Our Dating Sim was a beautiful, beautiful love story. I ate that one up. I really did. And it was short and sweet as well. It was very quick.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So we are at the end talking about the drama, the best drama of 2023. What drama would you put up there?
I can't choose, Carol. Like, I've already, like, the top three that I have are still vying for top spot.
Really? Mine is definitely moving. Like, there is just, there is nothing I can say about moving. I feel like with a lot of dramas, I have some notes. Like, I could be in the writer's room, the director's room, and have like a bit of, let's have a discussion. But moving, I have nothing bad to say. And I really, really enjoyed it.
Do you know, I was thinking of how to come across it. Like, do I have bad things to say about the show, nitpicks? Or how much, like, was it an era of my life in 2023? And those are two different things. But I'll go with your assessment, which is like, do you have, how many mistakes did the show make to you? Yeah. How many errors? And I think moving is one that I didn't have pretty much any bad things to say about it. So I think moving.
Yeah, mine is still very much moving. I think, again, kind of like what Jess was saying in terms of, I have no notes. There is nothing for me to say about moving. And it was literally, I could recommend this to a non-K-drama watcher and just be really, really confident that they'd enjoy it. And I think even though I've heard the discourse where some people just didn't find it like enjoyable, like a very wide majority loved it. Whenever we speak about like dramas of 2023, moving is always on someone's list, and it's definitely on mine. So for sure, moving.
I'm just thinking of my top three: Moving, Glory, and My Dearest. And I watched Moving with my non-K-drama friend, and she had said that, you know, the Hulk episodes were too long for her. Like, his story went on too long because she was kind of like, I was lost. Like, why do I care about this man? That's what she said.
Okay. So are you still friends with her?
That's like, did we burn that bridge?
No, and I'll tell you why I'm still friends with her. Because briefly, I felt that way too. And I'll say why. Because I felt like moving the whole time we were looking for Joeyin Sung's character. So I thought he was lead. And so I'm searching for him and I'm not seeing him. And I'm just like, but I don't care about his sidekick. Like, what's happening? Where is he?
Sidekick?
Oh.
You thought about it all wrong, I think.
Yes.
Well, what, instead of moving, what's your pick for number one show? Top
still
show?
Moving.
Oh.
It's still moving?
He said, that being said.
Oh.
That being said.
I thought you were going to say coming with another pick.
No. It's still moving. I called it my best drama of 2023 months ago.
Oh, you did. You did.
Yeah.
Okay. So it just came with some caveats.
Yeah.
Moving is the best K-drama of 2023. And that brings us to the end of this episode. I want to thank my guests so much. Jess, Frankie, where can people find you?
I feel like I literally only have the TikTok account. So you can find me at Frankie's Universe. I am on Instagram, but not really. That's at Frankie's Multiverse. I love what I did there. The universe and multiverse. But yeah, those are my only socials at the moment. So yeah, that's where you guys can find me.
For me, you can find me on all the socials. Usually just Instagram and TikTok at Daebakpod, Daebakpod. And you can find the Daebak K-Rambles podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple, Spotify, all of them. And we'd love to have you over there. And Carol has been on a few episodes over there. So familiar faces or voices.
If you've stayed with us to the end, please let us know what you thought of this episode. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. Wishing you all happy holidays, happy new year. 새해 복 많이 받으세요. 신년 快乐. I'm Carol, and see you on the internet somewhere.
Bye. Bye.